This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart here without Dave. Dave is off this week. I hope he's having a great holiday week and a well-deserved time off. But fear not, I have a friend in the studio, so you don't just have to listen to me rant all hour. Actually, it's going to be a fun hour. It is New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve. So we're going to have a fun hour. We've got Hunter here to work the board and weighing his two cents. And all hour, we're going to start to get to know Reed Sund better. I brought in Reed Sund. He's going to be our next city councilor in Ward 7.
That's right.
So we're going to be talking about his plans, his family. We're going to know him a little bit better and how the council will behave after he is elected. So happy New Year's Eve, everybody. Everybody be safe tonight. Don't go too crazy. Have a good time and stay wherever it is that you're having that good time. I know at the DeHart household, Hunter, are you going to have a rager at your household?
Probably not as much as my teenage daughter would like us to. We're not doing that.
Your teenage daughter actually wants you around on the night when this party. That's good, because I don't have any teenagers. And I keep teasing my kids about how we're going to have this raging party going on at our house. So some of our longstanding friends will be in. And I think this thing is going to go on and on well into the night. Maybe as late as 10.
Wow.
Almost.
As late as That's 10 p.m. Yeah, we're going to be partying hardy.
The 9 o'clock ball drop is the way to go. The 9 o'clock ball drop. That's what we do with the kids, because they don't know. They have no idea, no concept of midnight.
That's so. Right.
East Coast feed, East Coast feed.
So Reed Sund lives here in Salem. He works for Salem Health.
Yep.
And he has put himself out there for Ward 7 City Council. You filed early, really early, actually.
On filing day. Yes.
You wanted to send a message that I'm ready, I'll be stepping up.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And so who was the person that twisted your arm and said you should do this?
There's been a few people in the community that I've gotten to know that are just ready for change in Salem. And so, there's not any one person that really put me up and said, hey, you're doing this, but a community effort to bring some positive new energy and really focus on what's great about Salem and what do we see the future of Salem looking like. And I think a lot of people are just less satisfied than they were. We talked about that the last time I was on here, and we continue to that. You know, we need to focus on some new energy. So
I love the way he said that. You know, Reed's like less satisfied. In other words, he's going to stop short of anything like throw the bums out or there's a bunch of dysfunctional wackos there, but just less. I think the community's less satisfied than they were maybe 4 to 6 years ago. I'm not putting any words in your mouth, Reed.
No, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. So that's how we'll do it. And I think there's a lot of great things happening, but we have a lot of work to do.
Indeed. So our guest in the studio, Reed Sund, he's a candidate for Ward 7. Folks, if you don't know where that is, and if you're a listener to Newsmakers, you know how important the city council races in May are going to be. Ward 7 is basically Southwest Salem.
Yep, Southwest Salem.
Right, down Commercial Street until you get to Liberty Road.
Yep.
And everything east of there, folks. So it's Candelaria, and it's Salem Heights.
Yep, Fairmont, Candelaria. Fairmont Hill. Yep, Croizon Mountain, Sunny Slope, Illahi.
All of that. So Reed Sund is our candidate. So thank you for stepping up. I represented that area for 4 years, from 2004 to 2008. And I really had a good experience. So I hope that you do too. I had young kids at the time, and that makes it a challenge. And you've got three kids ages 4 and under.
Yes.
One of is like not even 2 months old.
Right. Yeah.
Six weeks. Your wife's a saint.
She is. And if she's listening, let's just say that over and over again. She
hey, really, Maggie. Really is. Thanks for sharing your husband with the community. During the middle of my service, my son got relapsed with leukemia. Mm. And so we not only had young kids, but I had a kid who with a life-threatening disease and what have you. And at the time, I remember thinking, and I'll still tell you, that the reason I stepped up is I wanted to model service.
Yeah.
I wanted to model service for my kids. And I wanted, of course, and even when you're going through a family, you know, pressures and things like that, I wanted to provide for the family, especially the healthy son,
yep,
a sense of normalcy.
Yeah.
Like, yes, we're still going to play Little League. Yes, Dad's still going to serve the community and so forth. So that kind of stability. And anyway, so it can be done.
Yes.
Four well, and yeah. under, though. Three yeah. kids, that is pretty good.
It's a little hectic, but, you know, this is the time to step up. This is their future. So people ask me, why would you do this now? Why not wait? And you wait, and I don't even want to know what waiting looks like when it comes to Salem right now. I'm ready to step in, and I hope that that my kids will see that and learn from that as well.
All right, so we know you're going to have a raging party with your three kids, including you have a 6-week-old baby, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah. We'll actually be downtown at the Grand Theater for a kids' New Year's Eve party that somebody's putting on that sounded really fun. So we're going to take them down there for live DJ, dancing,
wow.
hot chocolate. Yeah, it should
that
be
is
fun.
So cool.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Is everyone invited?
Well, it's on Facebook.
Okay.
They were selling tickets, and it looked like they actually sold out, so it could be pretty fun.
That is such a cool thing.
Yeah.
I had no idea. We're obviously not huge partiers at the DeHart household, so I'm just teasing, but I like your idea of, hey, it's 9 o'clock, that's it, it's a new year, go to bed.
Yeah.
Right? That is funny. All right. You work for, let's talk about where you work.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about where you work a little bit. So you work for Salem Health.
I do.
Salem Health has its fingers interwoven throughout the community.
We do.
So many employees. Aren't you the largest private sector employer?
Yep. Over 4,000 employees, largest in Marion and Polk County, or in the city of Salem, really, other than the government, of course. But yeah, lots of a community involvement as well.
And for those of you, you might have caught us here on Newsmakers, we have had people on whose job it is to integrate Salem Health into the community.
Yeah.
They have community outreach and community contact people that work there. And plus, they have been very understanding. I know that Senator Bowles has worked for Salem Health, and we're very understanding for her service and accommodation. So hopefully they're supportive of your run here as well.
Yes. And Senator Bowles is a good friend of mine, and she's very supportive. She believes in a better future for Salem as well, and has a stake in the game. And actually, you know, I'm in her Senate district as well as Representative Raquel Moore Green, and so is Ward 7. So it all is interconnected. And with the hospital, we have an impact on so many people, not only our employees, but the entire community. And now with the purchase and acquisition of the WVP Medical Group, we are now the mm-hmm. largest primary care medical group in Salem, which I think allows us to then really start to move the needle on the population health, as they call it, which really is the future of improving the health and well-being of the entire community.
That footprint is really starting to grow between the West Valley and Woodburn and the expansion here downtown. But we're not here to talk about Salem Health, but I do want to know what you do there. So we're going to take a quick break and come back. We're going to talk to Reed Sund a little bit more. Reed is a candidate for Ward 7, folks, and all of us are going to the ballot box in May to get him elected to change the direction, the perspective, the attitude with our current city council. So stick with us. We'll be right back. This is Brent DeHart in for Dave Morn. Hunter bravely filling in on 1430 KYKN Salem. I hope you're listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
And welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart in studio with us, Reed Sund, City Council candidate for Ward 7. We're going to talk about his campaign. We're going to talk about the issues,
mm-hmm.
The things facing Salem and things he's going to walk into the middle of and things that might be different if we had a different city council member in Ward 7. Coming up in May, Wards 1, 3, 5, and 7, 4 of the 8 city councilors will all be facing an election. And let's see, 2 of them will not have an incumbent running.
Right.
Reed's opponent was appointed to her position, so she's never ran a campaign.
Correct.
So hopefully you have some campaign volunteers and a committee.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's one of the benefits of starting out early, because you could file to run for city council in case you want to run in Ward 1, folks. Go look at the map.
Ward
but
3.
It's a sliver. Or Ward 3. Mm-hmm. Brad Nanke is retiring after his measly 20 years in service. and there's a sliver. In Ward 1, there's a sliver of West Salem, and there's a lot of downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And venturing north, I think into the Northgate area from there. So we could use some help there. So, but your opponent has, I guess it's a benefit of sitting in the seat for 6 months or so without having been elected.
Right.
Which I think that's poor form, honestly, to fill a vacancy with somebody who's going to run for a seat for the first time. But what can you do?
Yeah, it was an interesting process. We both were up for the appointment, and there was a third candidate as well that wasn't, I don't believe, intending to run. And she, on the like the day of, decided to pull her name. So then it really came down to the two of us, and both had said we were going to run, and that's just the way it went. But I think having her in the seat, there is a voting record, so I get to kind of sit back and watch and run a campaign while also not sitting as a current counselor. Also frees up a little bit of time as we prepare for May.
All right, Reed's son's got a wife and three kids, works for Salem Health. What's your job there?
So I am the director of finance right now. I've been there for about 4 years. I started as the controller in the accounting department, and I still work there in the same department. I moved up to the director role. It's a great team. We have about 18 of us that basically run the corporate finance for the healthcare system. We have over $1 billion annual forecast, and we, like we said earlier, over 4,000 employees, two hospitals, and multiple medical clinics.
It sounds like you know your way around some numbers.
Yeah, that's a true statement. We deal in a lot of numbers in the day-to-day and have a great, great team delivering excellent results that help people make good decisions.
Well, I like that, Reed Sund, because I think it was Brad Nanke who nominated me as counselor most likely to have a calculator out, because the numbers are important.
Yeah.
Whether you're doing negotiations for collective bargaining agreements because that's a counselor's job as well, to vote on the contract for the firefighters and ask me and the police union and things like that.
Yeah.
Or you're talking about how quickly an urban renewal agency will be able to repay its debt, or you're trying to budget how much can go to the library and how much can go to community services. All those things are really critically important.
Yeah.
And whether or not they're sustainable.
Right.
Right.
And I think that's what people want. They want people to understand and enjoy the intricacy of the finances that help drive the results that we want with our tax dollars, right? We don't just want plug figures of, oh, well, let's raise taxes and then, you know, we'll just keep doing what we're doing. We want to understand exactly where it's going. And not everybody has the same enjoyment of the detail and the numbers, but we need people on council that that do, and you know, that our council is represented by different perspectives, but also those that can have the financial acumen to make those tough decisions.
Amen. Because I don't want to do it anymore, but I want but I want you to do it.
Well,
so
I appreciate that.
Let's dive into that for a second, because you hinted at something that's pretty fresh. Is the revenue increases proposed for the city of Salem? One's already passed and appearing soon on your water and sewer bill.
Yes.
In a couple of months. So that's already in place to raise a bunch of revenue, and also coming to the voters, thank goodness, is the potential for a payroll tax,
right?
Employee tax for the people who work in the city of Salem. What are your thoughts on those two measures?
Well, I wish that both had gone out on the ballot. Originally, I think the council wanted to pass both of them but on their own without going out to the voters. And I know there was a lot of push to get both sent out to the voters, but that didn't happen. So I am happy that the payroll tax will be on the ballot, because I think more than anything, people need to understand the return on investment. So the city's going to have to make their case, and the council is going to have to make their case that if we're going to pass these additional taxes that raise $8 to $10 million a year, here's what we're going to do with it. Here's why we're in the position we're in and why this is the only option, if it in fact is the only option. And I think that's what they're doing. They're going out to neighborhood associations and trying to make that case. They're calling this a commuter tax because it is on anybody that works in Salem, whether you live here or not. And I think people need to understand that it's more than just that. It's everybody that works in Salem, right? So we can't just focus on, it's not a tax only on commuters. By calling it that, it might lead you, just like the operating fee, mm-hmm. right? Instead of calling it an operating tax of $8 a month on your utility bill. So again, we're in a position here where the economy is the strongest it's been. Unemployment is at a record all-time low. The market's doing great. People are doing well. And yet we are running out of money in the city. And I think we need to understand that more without mm-hmm. just jumping to the conclusion that revenue is the only option.
We need to understand it more and how that mechanism works, and then let the voters decide.
Yep.
You know, and I get it. And to the mayor's credit, Mayor Bennett is obviously a frequent guest on the show. You know, they had a task force to examine opportunities for revenue, and some of them were just terrible ideas.
Yeah.
Some of them were bad ideas, so those did get sloughed off on the wayside. And they invited people in the community that I think that should have been invited to the table to talk. And so of the bad ideas, these were the best bad ideas when it comes to reaching into the consumer's pocketbook or the citizen's pocketbook. So so at least we'll have one of the two go before the voters. And Reed is saying, if you were sitting there in the seat in Ward 7, then you would have said both of them go to the voters.
Yes.
Yeah. And let people decide, because ultimately, Reed, really, we get to decide. It's our city.
It's our city.
There's
it's
nine
our pocketbook.
People there. So we should be able to decide if, given the facts, without this revenue, you'll lose XYZ services or services will be diminished. And we can decide if we want to pay for the services.
Right. It comes down to the value proposition, and a lot of folks that I've been talking to are less confident in the value proposition that the city is offering with the money that we're paying currently. So if we're not satisfied, the value proposition is down, then asking for more money without going to the voters to decide whether or not this is a good value proposition or not, I think is just not a good move. Now, there are lots of things that the city council needs to do. Not everything can go out to the voters. This is why we elect people. But when it comes to the value proposition of tax dollars, I do believe that these should have been both on the ballot. But the payroll tax will be, and then we'll get to decide collectively as a city. And the cool thing is, for me, since I'm running in the primary, is that this will be on that ballot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hopefully everyone gets out and votes. Because, you know, voter turnout sometimes can be an issue. And I hope that everybody gets out and votes on the payroll tax. And at the same time, if you're in Ward 7, you'll see my name on the ballot.
If you tend to the right, people, listener, if you tend to the right, you have to get out in May.
Right.
The people who are tending to the left are coming out to vote in their primary, and they're going to come out in droves.
Yep.
So we need like the highest voter turnout ever.
Right.
For people who tend to the right. And if you're a fiscal conservative and you want somebody, I mean, face it, the people sitting in Ward 7 seat just passed two additional tax revenues or revenue increases for the city of Salem. And if you don't like those decisions, then maybe we'd add somebody else that sits in that seat. And that's perhaps Reed Sund. So I'm appreciative that you're running. I'm supportive that you're running. Full disclosure, I've already sent you a check from our household.
I appreciate that.
Hey, Jay, folks, it's January 31st. You can write a check, date it today, give it to any political candidate. Want me to give you a list? Any political candidate. And then if you are a couple, it's $50 a person, $100 per household. You get it right back in your taxes next month if you file next month. Mm-hmm. Give $100 to a candidate, get it back dollar for dollar. On your tax returns. So you can go online and contribute to Reed Sund's campaign. He mentioned Raquel Moore Green. He mentioned Senator Bowles. Yep. All of these are going to run tough campaigns and need representation and need the money. I want to add to that, Reed, not to keep you from talking too much, but this is so important because KYKN's reach is far into Polk County and North County and into the Canyon. And if you're like, well, I don't live in Salem, I can't vote for Reed. Well, Commissioner Craig Pope said it very well about a week ago. He said, what happens in Salem, the decisions that happen in Salem absolutely affect Polk County. Absolutely affect Polk County in terms of the transportation infrastructure and many other factors and job basis. And so what happens in cities in the city is really important. So if you're in Polk County and you want to support great decisions in the city of Salem, then send Reed some money. What's your website?
It's easy. ReedSun.com, ReedSund.com. And you can donate there. You can add your name to my mailing list, learn about myself, my family. And you're right. This is a regional campaign, in my opinion. There was a big decision that the council made last year, if you recall. It had something to do with a bridge.
Oh, yeah. I heard some people talking about
that. Right, yeah, word on the street. So that is something that I feel very strongly about. And so if you are in West Salem, I will take your support. You know, Jim Lewis is not running. And again, I mean, he's not up for reelection. So he is supportive of this campaign, and so I hope that you know, we can have a reach that goes beyond just Ward 7.
The current power brokers in the city council, folks, we have five or six people who basically ran on they're the bridge killers. I think we should just collectively title them the bridge killers. Although you could add on, well, they wanted to get paid. At least Tom Anderson did, right? You can add on the plastic bag ban. You can add on that they want to weigh in with the social justice, you know, and call us an inclusive city with that, whatever that means. I think it means they wanted to be a sanctuary city but didn't have the votes. I think that's all that means. Anyway, if that's who you want represented you, then that's not a problem. And if it's if you want to change, we're going to have to make one in May.
Yeah.
All right, Reed, we're going to come back. We're going to talk some more of the issues. Let's start with the bridge right after the break. This is Brent DeHart for 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Hunter here, filling in for Dave Bourne, who's off this week. Thanks for joining us, everybody, and a happy new year to everybody. I'll be safe tonight. Enjoy the Rose Bowl tomorrow. I got to pick on Reed Sund a little bit. He's sitting here, the audacity to come into the studio, and he's wearing an Oklahoma University button on his lapel.
Boomer Sooner.
And that was a heck of a game, you guys. Quite a game you guys gave to LSU.
Yeah, that was a sad day.
But I like that you're flying the colors despite the humiliating loss.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know what? Made it to the playoffs, and great team. Just didn't have the outcome that anybody wanted, but that's okay. We made the most of it. My kids and I had a good time playing instead of watching the second half, pretty much.
We can stop now. My team won yesterday in the Red Box Bowl, so I'm happy about that. I think there's a lot of Duck fans that listen to KYKN, one or two, right?
One or two,
And they were probably going, well, that should have been us against LSU, but I don't know anybody was stopping LSU this year.
I don't know. That they're a pretty good team, but I'm looking forward to the Rose Bowl. I will be supporting the Ducks tomorrow. My dad, brothers, sister, they're all there for the game.
Wow.
And so I will support them.
And KYKN is there.
KYKN is there. Sergeant Mike, Chris Link, and Jeff Morgan are all there.
Nice.
Jeff will be doing the pre-game program at 10 a.m. tomorrow?
10 a.m. I think 10 to noon, Jeff will be on with his tailgater show. So
that's some fun.
Yeah, they'll be having a good time.
All right, Duck fans, so you'll be set to tune into KYKN. You can turn those, sometimes the dimwits that are doing the college football broadcasting, you're kind of like, are you watching the same screen I'm watching? Is it just me?
I get so frustrated when you can tell that they're pro one or the other, and they're trying to give you this non-biased approach, but yet they're dogging everything, especially Pac-12 teams do.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That just happened where they said, hey, I was – well, this happened the 49ers Seahawks. So Seahawk fans, I'm sorry about that tough loss. Yeah. But afterwards, the guys, I was really impressed with the Seahawks, you know, and I really blah, 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 Seahawks. And then Russell Wilson, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, but you're not impressed with the team that just beat them?
Right.
You know, anyway,
right. Yeah, that was a tough game, too.
All right, we're talking to Reed's son. He's a candidate for Ward 7. We need to put him in office, folks. We need to send him some money. We need to walk his neighborhoods with him and tell the neighbors the striking difference between Reed's son and the previous two people that have sat in that seat. Ward 7 is Southwest Salem. It's important to all of us, even though only Ward 7 people will get to vote. And one of the most important things, we talked about it just briefly before the break, is the bridge, the vote on the bridge. We have a situation where Highway 22 is backing up to Capitol Manor some days, situation where emergency vehicles can't get across when there's an accident, situation where our downtown is gridlocked. Back to like 12th Street on Marion today, folks, today. If that bridge were green-lighted today, we would see it in 15 years.
Yeah.
Imagine what 15 years of growth is going to look like. Ward 7 seat, folks, is voting against that any transportation infrastructure improvements.
Yeah.
It's fair to say that your vote would have gone a different way?
That's very fair to say. Yeah. Yeah. We definitely, that was a disappointment for the whole region.
It's nearly criminal. It is mind-boggling. If you are not building infrastructure for the next generation, you have no business sitting in the seat making decisions for the city.
60,000 people in the next 15 years, and we need to be prepared and not just sit back and sort of pretend like it's not going to happen. Salem is a great place to live, a great place to raise a family. It's a beautiful spot in the Willamette Valley. And we need to be prepared for it. And it's not just Salem, but, you know, that downtown gridlock at those peak times, and a lot of times even random times during the day where you just can't get through our own downtown. And, you know, pair that with the beautiful sight of the homeless camping that we have had in the last couple months. And it just does not promote downtown Salem.
Yeah, and downtown, of course, is our city's living room. And if you don't think we need a vibrant city, you know, central business district,
right?
Wow, we do not want a hollowed out cavern of economic activity in the central business district. The people moving there are great. There's a lot of great things happening, but we can't kill it with gridlock.
Right.
That is crazy. You mentioned the homeless concentration. We were talking during the break. Just the irony of trying to relocate people away from our parks and camping in our public parks to create this camp situation where never before has Salem seen homeless encampments that take up a whole city block. So this has been created. And the person sitting in the seat you are running for, her idea was to put them elsewhere on a city parkland or city-owned property. Didn't she make the motion?
Yeah, that was probably the most shocking for me, and knowing that, you know, I want to be positive about what I can bring to council, but I also have to understand how my perspective differs from the person that I'm running against, because it needs to be clear to people who we're going to elect and whether we want to continue down the same path that we have been or make a change and pivot. And the homeless situation, you know, the people surrounding Arches, you know, it became very evident that something had to be done. And yeah, the motion was made to ask city staff to find public owned space, land that we could have a camp. And they came back with a list. And I'm sitting in the council meeting, you know, having them explain it, and these are close to schools, and this is in a floodplain, and this is, and one of the ideas was the Gilbert House parking lot right there by the Gilbert House, where my kids go, you know, where we have an annual membership, Wallace Marine Park, right? And since then has now the water levels risen quite a bit. I don't know what that would have happened then. And it's just amazing that, you know, these are the conversations that are actually happening. We're actually dedicating city time to come back with this list of property. So
yeah, let's put them back out in the parkland where we rooted them from to begin with.
Right,
right. It is.
It does not solve the problem.
Those are the decisions you want, folks, out of Ward 7. Then don't support Reed Sund. If you do, get to ReedSund.com. Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Reed Sund. ReedSund as in David. All right. So what priorities would you have in terms of you're going to, obviously, I know when I ran, public safety was top of my list and budgeting.
Yeah.
Because we can't know it all and we can't do it all.
Right.
So we already talked about your job as a finance director of Salem Health. And how that makes you numerically inclined and talented and so forth. So budgeting, obviously, is going to be a piece of that.
Yep, yep. Forecasting. And actually, I sit on the city council budget committee, so this will be my second full term, full year on the budget committee, so learning that process, which should be fun because I'll be running the campaign and on the budget committee for Ward 7. So I think we need to look into where, again, going back to what I said earlier, where is the value proposition just not matching up for people in the community, and find those opportunities to tighten the belt. I mean, we have to if we're going to thrive. So yes, I would be excited about that aspect of the budget. And the budget committee only meets two or three times, so we don't really get that opportunity to dig in throughout the year that the council does. And I think that's something that for me would be good to bring my talent and time to council.
Reed, can I ask you a tough question?
Yeah.
On the budget committee and how it's currently administered, do you think it's window dressing of community involvement, or do you think you and your fellow budget members that are not city councilors,
right,
really get enough information and enough time to affect some public policy?
I think that, you know, you can shape the conversation, but at the end of the day, city council adopts the budget. And we saw it last year where a few things were removed from the budget and the committee voted in that way. And then when it went back to council for the final adoption of the budget, things like $50,000 for the climate action plan, for example, were put back in. And at that point, then the budget committee members that are not councilors don't get an opportunity to vote. And so things can get back in. And so it did feel a little disheartening, like you have this great opportunity, but you really don't at the end of the day. But I do plan on using that platform this year to ask tough questions. And if we need to take more time to ask those questions, then we'll do it. We need to be good stewards of the resources. And I can use my voice as a budget committee member to do that even before I'm elected.
Yeah, and a budget committee member is a volunteer for one of the boards and commissions. Obviously, city councilors are volunteers, and you know, sometimes they have to make a political decision that the budget committee doesn't have to, or isn't even privy to. But you do, like, I think the way you said it was, you get to frame the conversation a little bit, and you get to bring up issues. And hey, if you don't like how the money is being spent, you can always run for city council,
right?
So which Reed Sund did, filed on the earliest possible date. Folks, I'm so used to people waiting and keeping close to the vest, and they file in February or the very last dates of February. It's usually the end of February, beginning March is the filing deadline. And Reed said, nope, I'm running. I want you to all know it. I'm going to get a head start.
Yep,
that is cool. All right, speaking of a head start, so you've got an event coming up this Saturday.
Yep, Saturday campaign kickoff at the Ike Box at 6:30, and would love to have anyone and everyone from the community that is ready for change and positive energy, bringing, you know, the perspective of a young family, the financial acumen and fiscal conservative voice to council. Come to the Ike Box. You can find the information on Facebook, on my Facebook page, which is Reed Sund for Salem. All about the event. Should be a good time.
6:30 p.m. on this Saturday.
Yep.
So come on downtown. You're going to be exchanging gifts at the mall anyway.
Yeah.
Right? Or maybe you're having one of our incredible new restaurants downtown. You have some dinner and you walk over the Ike Box and support Reed Sund's candidacy. And he doesn't care if you live in Ward 7 or not.
Nope.
Want to see all supporters and everyone's welcome.
Yep.
And you might as well buy some coffee, some hot chocolate, some tea there at the Ike Box. Well, it'll be the first of the year. Maybe everybody off those great baked goods they have in the counter. That's just cruel.
Yeah, you know, New Year's resolution.
They got a new budget. Budget's what you do with money. Yeah. You got a new diet and everything, and then you got to go to the Ike Box and see those yummy.
Can start that on January 5th.
There you go. So Saturday, 6:30, show up. If you have any questions, Reed Sund has a Facebook page for his campaign, a website for his campaign, and so forth. We had a caller call in before we take our last break. We had a caller call in and ask about this commuter tax, which is a great name. We're just going to start calling it that. My take, honestly, is there's a good argument on both sides. I know that we've had Councilor Nanke on. He's not really favorable towards it. He doesn't like the people who will be taxed will not have a vote in terms of the commuters.
Right.
And what it comes down to is people are going to decide, do we want more robust city coffers and services, or are we okay and we don't want to pay this additional tax, or we're against additional this type of tax, right?
Right.
So your take on the commuter tax.
So I the reason why I don't support this tax and I didn't support the operating fee either is because what I said earlier is that people are not satisfied with the direction the city is heading. And so until we can figure out how to solve the problems that people are not satisfied with and show that we can deliver a value proposition with taxpayer dollars, then I don't agree with raising arbitrary taxes into the general fund to deliver the exact same level of service that we are right now. So people are going to have to ask those tough questions about what will this look like without the money. But at the end of the day, if we go the other direction, then the money's just going to come into the general fund and it can be spent any which way. And there's a lot of ideas out there that people have. And so until we can, I would love to change the leadership first, figure out how to solve some of the root cause problems that people are just not satisfied with. Infrastructure, the budget, and homelessness, right? Those are the three things, and the vibrancy of our downtown and the growth of our city. And let's focus on those with new leadership. And then let's talk about what does our budget look like with the priorities that the council has set and the city is looking for. Focus it. I think that's the right order of things instead of the other way around.
Reed Sund is our guest here on Newsmakers. Dave Bourne is out on vacation. I think he just put it in a nutshell. Reed Sund is running and so that we can have better infrastructure decisions, better scrutiny on the budget and whether or not we should be raising revenue and what is going to be done with the money should we get it, and the homeless issue.
Yep.
If you're happy with never again building any transportation capacity, and if you're happy with the two revenue generating measures that currently passed, one without your permission, and with what's going on with the decisions with the homeless, like should we put them in the parks?
Right.
Should we put them next to the Gilbert House? Should we make a deadline and then try to back off? And are you happy with all of those things? And maybe not, you're mad. If you're listening and you're not happy with those things, folks, we need a change. Reed Sund, Ward 7. Yep, I'm stumping for him. Stick with us. We're going to talk a little bit more, sliding headlong into the new year, and we'll see what Reed and his family are up to right after this. This is Brent DeHart for Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart, and I am pumped. I'm so excited for 2020 to come, and I'm so excited to be with my friends tonight, raging deep into the night, 9 or possibly even as late as 10 o'clock, and of course, the Ducks bowl game tomorrow. And I'm excited to have Reed Sund running for city council for a seat I once held. It's nice to see a person who is so budget-minded who's running. But do you mind if I ask you how old you are?
33.
All right. Oh, gosh, how old was I? Anyway, 33, 4 years now in the finance department at Salem Health, and raising three kids with his wife, Maggie.
Yep.
Maggie, we love you.
Yes, we do.
And we appreciate you sharing your husband with us. And it's important for how your kids are going to grow up in the city. So thank you, because, you know, the family is important. And one of the things I want people to understand about you is your folks live here.
Yep.
You know, you're raising a family here. You've put yourself out there as a volunteer on the budget committee, which is more than the so-called incumbent has done. And, you know, you're invested. You know, in the community, you have roots and everything.
Yes.
So
we came back, too. I left and I was gone for 10 years and came back to raise my family here. And I haven't looked back since.
That is great. His campaign kickoff party is this Saturday, 6:30 p.m. at the Ike Box. We talked about his priorities. We've talked about how, and that kind of got nailed into its infrastructure. In case you're not getting the code word, infrastructure means don't kill the bridge.
Right.
That's critically necessary 40 years ago. You know, and enough attention and accountability and transparency on the budget. So you're just not raising revenue without everybody understanding where it's going. And of course, maybe some more some different choices on what's happening with the homeless situation. Yeah. On the line, we've got Bert. Bert called in. I appreciate you calling in. I had a question for you. Bert, you with us?
Yep. How are you?
Excellent. Good. Thanks for calling. What's your question?
Oh, I haven't heard yet. You guys probably thought of this already, but how about a regular old campground for the homeless? Let them take care of it and have bathrooms like they do in some rest areas. It'd have to be a lot bigger, but that was my two cents worth. And I agree with you on the bridge. I used to live in Albuquerque back in the 1980s, and they had a need for a third bridge or something, and they actually built one.
They actually built one. Wow.
Maybe we could go tour there.
Didn't take 15 years.
Yeah.
Well, we don't even have to go to Albuquerque, Bert. We can just drive to Portland where they have like 12 bridges. Right. All right.
I used to drive truck for a living, so I didn't care for Portland.
What about getting a campground, Reed? Was that
work? Well, yeah, it's a good question, Bert, and I appreciate you calling in. You know, the city did put together a report when the council asked them to look into the what it would cost and the resources needed to put together a camp. And the problem with that is twofold. One, you know, the homeless population needs to be stratified into a few different groups. And the group that is really looking to live in unstructured camps is not the group that's necessarily seeking services that will help get them out of homelessness. And so by doing that, one, we might promote that particular strata of the homeless population to be here in Salem. And I do have friends that have met people on the street that have said that they were told to come to Salem because they could camp on the sidewalk.
Now, let that rest sink in just a second.
Kind of like every other big city.
Right. If we make it too... It's basically, hey, there's a camp here. You're basically inviting the homeless from Portland to come down I-5 and live in Salem instead.
Right.
That is absolutely one of those, you should have seen it coming. If, hey, we've got a camp here and you get all these services.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So and, be careful not to do that.
Yeah.
Didn't think of that part.
Yeah. And, you know, we looked at how the camp around Arches went, and when they were finally cleaning it out, you know, this was not... This was not something that you would really want anywhere in the city, and it's not livable conditions. It wasn't humane for those living there. It was not clean, and now they've moved to surrounding kind of around Nordstrom and Rite Aid and that area of town. And so the reality is we have to focus on root cause. You know, there's talks out there about low barrier navigation center type shelters that can help get people out of homelessness. And for those that really want the help, and that's where I think we need to focus, not on temporary camps that are going to use. I mean, the city's budget for this one, the camp idea, was north of $1 million a year. So here we are raising taxes of 8 to 16 million, and then we're going to ask people to invest in that, and I just can't support that.
And for the people, we're going to let you go, Bert, as we're going down to our last
minute.
We appreciate
the
call.
Appreciate it.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year to Bert, and thanks for being a listener. We always appreciate the input. Hey, and it's so true. I love your idea of stratification. You know, who wants help? Who wants help off the streets? Who wants to be working, supporting your family? Who wants to be out of the homelessness situation and seeking the services? Who wants to escape the binds of either poverty or addiction and do something else?
Yeah.
And then there's the impossible to house people that the mayor talks about.
Right.
To stratify, and that's two different conversations.
Yep. Yep. And one thing that just is really quickly that I would love to do, and this is a charge to the whole city, is to quantify the cost. The city quantified it. The hospital has a stake in this. A lot of partners have a stake in this. And so we need to do that.
Yes, we do. Reed Sund, folks, candidate for Ward 7. Everybody have a wonderful new year. We're going to see you in 2020. We got a lot of work to be done. Thanks for joining us, Reed Sund.
Yes, happy new year.
We'll see you in 2020. This is Brent for Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.